evening, everyone.
Good evening, Mother.
And how's everyone this evening?
Awake and ready.
Good. Well, let us all close our eyes and fix our attention at the point between the eyebrows. This is the point of concentration. It is where the light of the body is, the eye, the spiritual eye. Let us be filled with the infinite peace of God. Let us feel His presence within us, all around us, everywhere equally present. And let us pray to Him, O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Deep meditation with our full concentration upon the Lord, asking Him to reveal Himself to us. I'm going on another trip. I know you'll all be delighted to hear that. I'm leaving on Monday, and I'll be gone some weeks. So I have asked Phil to take charge of the church functions here and to either give the sermons himself or to ask different ones of you to do it. And I expect you all to be thrilled at the opportunity. Because don't forget, we are all ministers of the Christ. And if His work is to go forward, we must of necessity, each one of us, do our part in spreading the word of God. This is a vital necessity. And even though you've never given a sermon before, you can get up and just say, "Here am I, God, take me." And let Him speak through you. And it's an amazing thing how when you let go and let God, He does all things through us and for us. It's a tremendous privilege because there's no greater way to learn than to teach. And I certainly ought to know, because one day my guru, my master, reached out and touched me on the forehead and said, "I make you a minister." And I thought, "Oh dear Lord, what do I do now?" And I told him I couldn't possibly do that, because I hadn't been with him like the others had been in training. I didn't have any formal education to speak of. And I was totally unprepared and scared to death. So he said this, and I merely repeat what he said. "I look into the heart, and if I see that the heart is pure, then I appoint that one the minister of God." So he put me way out here by myself, and I learned to be a minister. So whatever comes forth was God who did it, I can assure you. But in the beginning, I got in the way because I had to do it. The first time I ever stood up to give a sermon, I talked very readily about my guru because he had changed my whole life. He had put God in a completely new perspective in my consciousness. He had made me know that he was within me, around me, everywhere equally present. And for the first time, I didn't visualize him as being way up in the sky someplace, way up in the heavens, a place that was absolutely unattainable, and him as an individual, or a power that was unattainable. For the first time, I felt that presence within me. And I knew that I too, if I picked up my cross, which is to say my body, and followed the Christ, that I could be his disciple. It's a tremendous opportunity for each one to witness for God when you can do such a thing. The Master had a very simple rule for it. He said that we should sit down and meditate very deeply until God gave us a thought. We should take that thought and go to the concordance and see what we could find about it. And then we should meditate on that thought. Read the scripture, read a few inspiring passages from any spiritual work, and then let God speak through you. And he said, always tell them a few stories because they like that. And that is true, because a story will many times get over a point that can't be gotten over otherwise. So this is what we're going to do. And we will continue on this way and the schedule that you were given, with the exception of the 4th of July, until the middle of August. And then we'll take a vacation as far as church is concerned for a little while, and then I'll be back eventually. But I have a lot of work to do this summer. A lot of things are contemplated. And if the work is to go forward, I must get this done. I'm going down to speak to some publishers about some writing I have done to get the chance written and copyrighted, find out about many things to secure the name the Master's Disciples for us. This comes after much effort on our part, and if each of us doesn't do our part, it won't go forward, because we have to become known under that name, which we are in many places now, but I mean really known, before we can get hold of it for ourselves. God is the Master. We are all his disciples. And that's why he chose the name for those who follow with me to God. Because every man, woman, in this and child in this universe is a member of the Master's disciples, because we are all God's children. We do not have an organization, nor do we want one. We don't have a formal church, nor will we have one. Because it is better to meet in small groups like this, because this, our body, is the church, and Christ is the head of it. So wherever we go, we take him with us, and we may pray to him unceasingly until we feel the joy of his infinite presence. How many here practice the art of meditation every day? Every single day, huh? Good. Well, the rest of us should all be doing that. Because there is only one way to the infinite, and that is to be conscious of his presence in your life, every single moment of it. To dedicate all thoughts, all words, all actions to him alone. It's an amazing thing how we constantly go on asking God for things. And when we are asking him for things, our consciousness is not in the spirit, but it is on the things of the earth. And God is spirit. He is pure spirit. And we do ourselves a great disservice, because we too are pure spirit. But we have through a long period of time, sold ourselves on the idea that we are separated from God. But God is all there is. There isn't anything in this whole wide universe except God, because He created all things and everything in them. And in even a tiny leaf, all of God is contained. You cannot separate God from God because He is indivisible. We merely do this in our own consciousness. It is just like heaven is not a place. It is a state of consciousness. We constantly visualize ourselves as going to heaven, to hell, to purgatory. But there is no such place as such, except that which the mind creates. And that mind has the power to create because it is the mind of God. There's only one mind in this whole universe. Each one of us is God made manifest. We are God indivisible. We are but the forms which contain Him. And He created these forms. So where is He not? It's a tremendous thought when you think about it, that even in one small leaf is contained all of God, the allness of God. You cannot separate God from Himself any more than you can take a gold ring and separate the gold from the ring. Because if you were to take the gold out, there would be no ring as such in a gold ring. Isn't it true? And so this is the way we are with God. I want to talk to you about meditation tonight. And the purpose for which we're going, I have spoken about this before, but I want to repeat it and amplify it. There's a tremendous job to be done in the world today, and God has to do it, because we don't have that power. We don't have that intelligence to know exactly what His plan and His purpose are. So we can only open ourselves and receive His direction and proceed through grace. Grace is the most tremendous thing in the world, and it is constantly descending upon us. But we don't realize that because we have not opened ourselves to it. A long time ago, Sister Ganamata made this statement when things were going so very badly with her. Lord, change no circumstance of my life. Change only me. And we come to that point because, you see, we are constantly trying to do things ourselves. We try to go to God. And can we do that without His help? Because we cannot move nor breathe nor have our being without Him. And if He is all things, where is there to go and to whom if we are the separate cells of His one body? There is no other place to go but right within ourselves to find all of these answers. The time comes in your life when, having tried with everything you have to find God, you know that you can't. You're defeated. It's just like you've tried very hard to make things come out right in your life. A business venture, your family life, your school, you name it, whatever it might be. And you have failed miserably, and nothing changes, nothing at all. In fact, sometimes it gets worse the more you pray about it. So you say to yourself, well, what shall I do? And you say to God, God, I prayed to You unceasingly night and day to change this situation. Why does it remain the same? It remains the same because we have not given ourselves to God. We have not opened ourselves to Him in full measure to let Him come in, to feel His presence. If we have the Lord, do we not have everything? Everything is added unto us. Seek ye first God and his kingdom. That is a very specific injunction. Seek ye first God and his kingdom, and then, and only then, shall all of these other things be added unto you. But you must go to him with a pure heart, with intense love and desire, to know only him, because knowing him, everything else falls into place. This wonderful kingdom of spirit is within us. This world is unreal in a sense that it hinges on one thought. When we go to sleep at night, the world ceases to exist. When we awaken in the morning, there is the world. This is the truth. And all of the various worlds, like it speaks, I've forgotten just which chapter in the Bible relates to it, but I was lifted up into the third heaven and the 14th heaven. What is it speaking of? It is speaking of the 14 worlds within ourselves, the two powers in each of the seven spinal centers where our consciousness rises gradually up the spine to become one with God who sits on the throne of our consciousness and on the altar of our hearts. It is the most tremendous experience in the world to find God, to be one with him, to feel the wonder and the beauty and the bliss of his glorious presence. And until you have found that within yourself, your life will never be what you want it to be, because you're asking for things, and these things are transitory. They do not last. They change constantly. I remember very vividly one intense spiritual experience that I went through. While I was in this state, somebody had brought some chicken chow mein. And when I have been in this state, I'm in two worlds at the same time, and I realized that I was eating, and yet my consciousness was upstairs listening to God all the time. All of a sudden, I happened to look down at this chicken in the state that I was in. I saw that every time I went to put my fork in it, the texture of the meat was just changing, just like that. It tasted wonderful, I think. I wasn't very conscious of what it was. But I saw this change going on. And it was God's way of showing me that this is what the whole world is constituted of. It is change every moment. Only God is real. Only God is unchangeable. And he exists now. He always has, he does, and he always will. He is infinite. He is eternal. And he is that now in you and me and every single form which he has created. God is there. But we go to him thinking that if we pray to him, we're going to have things better in our lives. But sometimes, as I say, it doesn't happen that way. So when you have tried everything you know and nothing works, then finally you put your head down on the table as I did once and say, Lord, I have given you my best. I don't know what to do. I've tried so hard. You must do it. And I surrendered myself and everything to him because I had no place to go. I had tried everything I knew, gone to everybody I knew, and the situation got worse and worse and worse. And so finally, I let go and I let God. And as of that moment, the change came. Because he does all things through us. And I had to get out of the way. This ego. This unreal self. There's a story told in India about the salt doll. Now the salt doll represents the human ego. The salt doll wanted to go into the ocean. And she wanted to go there so she could come back and tell all whom she knew about the experience. But the minute she went into the ocean, she melted. And she could never come back and tell. Now that parable is used many times in India. And they say that Ramakrishna is the one who gave it. And because he was so great a master over there, everybody believes absolutely what he says. that having once gone into the ocean, you can never come back and tell about it. But the thing they have failed to realize is this, that even though the human ego is dissolved and the Savior within you gives up the ghost, that Savior is resurrected in the Christ. And you are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And though you were dead, still you live. You remember the experience that the salt doll went through. You remember going into the ocean. That salt doll cannot live. It cannot come out to tell. But you, who had this false ego, you, the eternal I within us, who is the I Am, the Christ in every man, lo, I am with you always, said he, lives to tell the tale. Christ was resurrected. He spoke to his disciples. He gave them the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father with complete dominion over the kingdom of heaven and of earth. And therefore, because you have this remembrance, you are, if God makes it possible through His grace, able to come back and tell about it. I remember every experience I have gone through, with only one or two exceptions, when God took me out of body consciousness. Everything that I have experienced, I have done with my eyes wide open. And I remember it vividly. And I remember how I walked the way of my own cross, stopping at each station up that spine. I went through the 14 stations, or the 14 worlds, or the 14 lokas, as the Hindus call them. And I turned and I saw my spine lit up like a Christmas tree. And then I saw my own Savior crucified on my own cross, which is to say my body. It was a tremendous experience, but I remember I was there. I remember the death that I went through. I remember very vividly, because I came out of this spiritual experience, which was so tremendous, completely paralyzed. It was as though rigor mortis had set in the body. And it took me 10 long years to completely come out of that state and be able to function in a balanced, normal fashion in this world. It was a tremendous thing to have your consciousness escape from the three bodily jars, the physical, the mental, and finally the physical, the electrical, or the astral, and the mental, or the idea body. And then to be able to function, because you are so lifted up in the consciousness of the Christ, being co-heirs with Him, as it says we may be in the Bible, that you have a lot of trouble keeping your balance, your equilibrium in the world, because you want to go upstairs into the heaven of your own being all the time and enjoy only that bliss and that peace and that wonder and glory of God. But it can be done. What tremendous substitutes, what terrible substitutes we accept instead of going to God and having all wisdom, all light, all knowledge, all love, all success, all wonder, all beauty manifested in our lives. And we can do this. It is the power of positive thinking. But that positive thought must be this alone. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal thyself. Make love to God. You are His child. You're entitled to anything and everything in your Father's kingdom. It already exists there for you now. You have but to lay claim in it. But when you go to meditate, sit in the silence of your own soul and wait. Take a verse out of the scripture. Let's take, for instance, I of myself can do nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. And then think about this. Well, we know that we of ourselves can do nothing. And if we ever need any proof of that, all we have to do is to think that if we could do it, we wouldn't have to be praying to God, asking him to do it for us. Now, would we? It's a fact. So we pursue this idea. We know that one. It is my Father who doeth the works. How does he do it? And then we start thinking of how he works. And we think of this tremendous creation all around us. We call it creation, although, as I've said before, there is no such thing as creation, because only God exists, and all that is here, which seems to be created, always was, is, and always will be, because it is contained in his one body. It is just the manifestation, the expression of himself. And he constantly takes these forms to discover himself anew. It is his play, and he enjoys it. And somebody said to me not long ago, well, supposing when he gets all through with this and everybody is brought back to him like it says that we should be, what's he going to do then? I said, he'll start the whole miserable mess all over again. And he will, because this is the movement of God, the going forth, the sustaining, and the withdrawing unto himself. This is the way he breathes in the universe. He breathes forth worlds. And the sun and the moon and the stars we think of as a part of him. And we think of the planets moving in the heavens. We think of the space, the atmosphere, the beautiful blue sky with the soft fleecy clouds in it. And then we come down and we look all around us. We see the beautiful trees and the flowers and the grass growing. And then we look at our dear ones and the animals around and all of the things that he's provided for our comfort and the air which we breathe and the sun and everything. And our mind is concentrated on the miracle that God is. This is how we meditate on him. So that we practice his presence, practice seeing him every moment of our lives, no matter what we're doing, where we go, let us think of him. But you do this by being receptive. Do not ask for things, because we don't know by the farthest stretch of the imagination what is best for us. And sometimes God keeps us from being burned in the fires of our own desires. And he is being so blessed to us. So blessed. How many experiences in my life can I remember? I just had to have something, somebody. They were absolutely a necessity. And I didn't get that. I didn't get them. And I went through heartache. And I went through suffering. And all the rest of it. Only to come to know one day how good God was to me. How blessed I was that he protected me from myself. So as long as we don't know what to ask for, because we don't know what is best for us, we should just sit there and ask him to reveal himself to us, to give us the feeling of the power of his presence, his bliss, his wisdom. And you practice this just a little each day. Now, God gives us 24 hours a day. And out of those 24 hours, certainly we can spend a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes in the evening before we go to bed. We should spend every minute, no matter what we're doing, because you can think of God and do more, most concentrated labor, regardless of what it is. If you have but one idea that he is doing it through you, you see, that you are not doing it. So constantly you're listening for that still small voice within yourself, waiting for the direction. God, here am I, take me. You do this through me. It is my Father who doeth the works. And so you come to the end of that particular thought which you started out. And all of a sudden it opens up to you and you see what the true meaning of that biblical scripture is. And then you take another one and you progress like this. And as you progress, the door of your consciousness opens up. The door of your heart opens up. And you not only hear the wisdom of God, but you feel the love of God. And it just permeates your whole being. And it goes on and on and on. As I told you before, I sleep very little. But whenever God awakens me, immediately my mind goes to him and I am listening to his voice. And so therefore I'm not nearly as tired as I would be otherwise. Once in a while I get a little tired, but isn't it worth it? Such beauty, such wonder, such great words of wisdom. Can I take any credit, any glory for this? I can assure you I cannot. Because it is He, it is He, it is He who does all things. Every single thing, it is He. We only think we do it. And when we surrender ourselves and everything we have to Him, then He comes, He shows us what He really is. Then for the first time we know reality. It's just not a dream world, a thing that we reach out for, hoping to find, not knowing what we'll find at the end of the trail. But it is something real in our lives, something that we can take and use every moment to get whatever results we're trying to attain. Because these results do come. And people who started out with practically nothing in the way of education, of intelligence, of learning, of opportunity, of success, have become all of those things that they wanted to be or ever dreamed of, and far more. I know because I was there. I never dreamed that my life could be as it is. And yet I've gone all over the world. I've sat at the feet of some of the greatest saints. I have hobnobbed with royalty. And I've gone out into the villages and I've sat with the poor and I've eaten from their table and I've slept on the floor and on wooden beds. I've lived all of life and I wouldn't trade a minute of it. Not one minute. Not even the agony and the torture of the way of the cross. Because it is through the suffering that we are purified in order that we may receive Him. Now let us talk a little about the method of meditation, because there are quite a few of you who have not had this personally here. You sit in a straight chair with your spine erect and your hands at the junction of your thighs here. This is in the receiving position. And they're put here because this keeps the shoulders back. At no time must there be any tension in the spine, because nothing that we teach is detrimental to you. It all flows with the nature of your own being. And if you do anything wrong, this is up to you, because I am telling you a very simple method which will not harm you, and it is what Jesus gave. He said, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. So these are the two eyes, the two thieves, the spiritual thieves on our cross, if you will. Because these eyes reflect only that which they see out there. But because they are dual in nature and see this vision out here, which is merely a reflection, it takes the concentration away from the one light which is contained within the optic thalamus gland. So we are told to lift our eyes to the hills. We are told that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. And so He did, but it was the mountain of our own being. This is the hill of the skull, the hill of Golgotha. You can find it in your Bible dictionary. It is the truth. It is there where you will find Him. And so you sit with the full attention up here, the eyes lifted gently, but don't cross them. We don't want people going around here cross-eyed. Gently, with the full concentration, and then look for that eye. It's a beautiful thing. It looks like an eye, but it has the gold of cosmic consciousness around it. In the center is the blue of the Christ. It's a beautiful deep blue. And right in the center of that is the five-pointed star of infinitude, the star of the east, where the wise men saw the coming of the Christ. And if you will concentrate on that within, you too will see His coming, because don't forget that if God and the kingdom of heaven are within, and Jesus is to come a second time out of the cloud of heaven, where can He come except from the cloud of your own consciousness, when that consciousness, that heart, is purified enough to receive Him? So look for Him. That is the gate of heaven, to heaven, within yourself. And don't forget that if ye knock, it shall be opened unto you. You must knock with intensity of faith, of devotion, of love for God. It is not that we have to give up the things of the world. We have to give up our attachment for them. We may use them because they are ours to use. Our Father has given them to us. But we must not be attached to them nor possessed by them, because most of us are slaves. We are not masters. We are buffeted around by every little swaying of the wind. What shall I do? I don't know. This happened. What shall I do now? We don't know. Habits take over. And they won't let go of us. Why? Because we don't let go of them and take hold of God's hand. This is the truth. We have it within us to be masters. Jesus said so. The disciple is never greater than the master, but the disciple can be as great as the master. This is his promise to us, that we can be heirs with him in God's kingdom. That's the purpose for which he came. Not to keep us out. Not to say, I'm the only one, nobody else can attain it. But all who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. To all who received him. So this opening up of your heart, of your consciousness in meditation, is putting yourself ready to receive him. In the beginning, you may not get any answers. But this is one of the difficulties in the path. It's also one of the tests and one of the opportunities for overcoming. Because we lose patience if we've tried sometimes for a night and we say, well, nothing happened. This isn't any good. How can you possibly do that? You know, no matter what job you take over in life, it takes a while to find out how to operate on that job. You have to learn about all the machinery, the mechanics, the books, the routine, the ritual, whatever it might happen to be. And gradually, with use, you become proficient at it. And you expect to do that. But you don't expect to have to wait when you're asking for the greatest thing there is, and that's the realization of your oneness with God. You want it right now. You've gone all this way separated from him, going your own free will, doing what you want, without regard to the Ten Commandments, the moral laws, anything. And then just because you've had a change of heart and you want to do a little meditating, you expect God to come in just like that. And if he doesn't, he isn't any good, or he isn't there, or nothing happens and it's wrong. And so you go to another teacher, you read another book, and oh, this one's going to do it. This is going to inspire me. I'm going to do it now. Same thing happens over again. And so it is. On and on and on. And you will never make it that way. You have to pick the one that will give you God. Take the inspiration that will take you to God and stay with it. It depends on you. The teacher can teach you, can give you the greatest truth that ever was, can be the living example of that truth. But if you don't take that truth and apply it to your own lives, it will avail you of nothing. It cannot. It cannot. Because it is your pearl of God realization that must be attained, and nobody else can die for it and get it for you. It is your privilege, your prerogative, and your responsibility to dive into the ocean of God and come up with that pearl. And only when you do it, when you come to full surrender at the feet of the Lord, then he will come to you, and through his grace, he will lift you up into his arms of everlasting bliss and hold you safe forevermore. So the thing to do is to keep yourself open, receptive, not asking for anything. Just put your mind on a scripture and follow its workings, and he will open up wonderful truth to you. And this will grow inside of you. And the more you use it, the more it grows, until it just becomes like a steady stream. John the Baptist is symbolic of this intuitive stream of spirit which flows from the infinite through you, who are also a part of the infinite. There is no difference. God is. He is with us every single moment of our lives. There is no place but here, no time but now, because in truth we have never left the heart of God. This is the truth. We only think we have. What a terrible disservice we do to ourselves. There are many ways to meditate and pray upon God, about God. We all know that, and each one accepts that which is in accordance with his own nature. Some people like to read the scriptures. Others like to memorize prayers or to pray to God just from what comes from their hearts. And there are others who practice breath control, who practice asanas or physical exercise to perfect the body, to make it a fit temple for the living God. There are those who just love God. There are those who say mantras or special prayers that are compiled to invoke certain elements of God. There are those who concentrate upon an object. There are infinite ways. And you must choose that which is natural to your own being. In fact, if you try to do anything else, you won't arrive at your goal. You must do this. So each one is different. We give one general method of meditation. And many people try this or that, and they say, well, I have this problem or I have that problem. I'd like to try this. So we do it. And so after they've tried everything, you see, nothing works. Then we practice the presence of God in everything. Because these are all methods, and the mind, in the beginning, has to focus itself upon a way, a means, it thinks, in order to get to the end. And it isn't satisfied unless it does that. But don't forget that every time you are thinking of all of these things that you must do to go to God, the rituals that you must go through, the form, the breathing exercises, the asanas, the psalm singing, all the rest, if you have your attention on God all the time, it's all right. But if you have not, and most people do not, you fail to reach your goal because your attention is on the way to go to him and not upon him. And it must be upon him at all times. So I ask you to take this which Jesus gave us, this wonderful method of concentrating on the single eye, the spiritual eye, and visualize yourself as going through a golden tunnel. Go as far as you can, and all of a sudden, the color changes and you come to this beautiful blue tunnel. And go as far as you can on that, and all of a sudden here's this beautiful five-pointed silver star. And knock on the door and enter into the kingdom of your heavenly Father. Now in the beginning this is all imagination in most cases. It requires practice. But as you practice, you will see the reality of it. Some people see it right away. It depends on your spiritual consciousness, where you are on the path to God, and only He knows that. So don't get discouraged. Remember that Saint Anthony went out into the desert, and he was in the crypts of Egypt for 40 years. And the devil and all of his devilkins came and they beat him and they whipped him and they scourged him and they left him as one dead. And the villagers came up, took him down and thought that he in truth had died. But he regained consciousness, he went back, and finally he said, Lord, you must come to me. And all of a sudden Jesus appeared to him. And he said, Lord, why have you kept me waiting so long? And he said with infinite love, Anthony, did you not know that I was with you always? And this is the truth. He is with us always. This is his promise. And the purpose of it is to find our oneness with him, because that's the only purpose for which we have our being on this earth, is just that. And when we do that and commune with him in the sanctity of our souls, in the secret closet, the temple of the Most High, all of our lives change. And we become a new creature in Christ. Even the body changes. And whatever you were as the salt doll, you no longer are. You're awake in Him. You're aware of the reality of the fact that I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. I was going to read to you out of the Bible. Maybe I will read one verse. But you know, man himself is the living Bible, because everything that is contained in this Bible is contained within man. And so the more you explore the kingdom of God within yourself, the more you will know that this is true. And here we are. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It says so right here. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I have another passage here, but I don't know what I did. Oh, here I am. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So those two psalms say everything, confirm everything that I have been telling you tonight. They are in the Bible, and we live by it. We must obey his commandments first if we want things from him. And we must not go to him with the idea that we're doing it because of those things, but only for him. Know him. Know the truth that you are indeed he, and that truth shall make you free. Now, I understand that there are a few people who want to see me, so why don't we all go downstairs and have refreshments after we have our final prayer, and then I'll see whoever wants to see me before I go. And I want very much that all of you continue to attend, even when I am not here. It is very discouraging, you know, when the Lord gives everything he has through a form which he has created. And then because that form isn't there anymore, that people cease to come and worship him. Because you don't come to worship me or any minister, any priest, any rabbi. You come together to worship the Lord. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them. It's a tremendous opportunity for togetherness, to let God know that we are all his children, and no matter what, we meet together in his name to love him, to worship him, and to adore him. Now let us pray. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting for my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
In every cell of my body.
In every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
The soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Forever.